Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, December 22nd, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The pairage of cabinet ministers suspected to be aligned to former Vice President Joyce Mujuru continued this week, and with the firing of two ministers and five deputies, including Deputy Justice Minister Fortune Chasi, who says he will remain in ZANU-PF regardless.
A police in Harare say investigations into a disturbing video showing touts harassing and abusing a young woman have started. Most importantly, they want the woman to go to their nearest police station so she can help with the probe.
If young lady is listening, we want to encourage her to get in touch with the police or organizations like ours, Cattle Sisterhood.
And the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says it will not accept any flawed changes to the country's labor laws after cabinet agreed to amend policies to allow productivity-linked wages.
Our experience is that it destroyed jobs. Workers remained without any protection.
The pairage of government ministers suspected to be aligned to former Vice President Joyce Mujuru continued this week, and with the firing of two ministers and five deputies. This brings to 16 the number of ministers who have been fired since last month, including the former Vice President Mujuru. Those fired are Lands Deputy Minister Tendai Savanu, Deputy Minister of Transport Petronella Kakonyi, Minister of State Sylvester Mguni, State Minister Flora Buka, Deputy Minister of Health Dr. Paul Chimeza, Dongai Muzenda, Deputy Minister of Public Service, Labour and Social Services, and Fortune Chasi, Deputy Minister of Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs.
The letters that were dispersed yesterday were signed by President Mugabe, who is currently on leave outside the country. Meshack Svanda, the Chief Secretary to the President and Cabinet, announced at the weekend that the seven had been relieved of their duties with immediate effect because their conduct and performance were below expectation. However, independent analyst George Mkwananzi tells Studio 7 that performance has nothing to do with the firing because President Mugabe has never fired anyone because of failure to discharge their duty. Chasi, who confirmed receiving the letter on Sunday, tells Studio 7 that he accepts his fate.
I would say around 2 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday.
And who brought the letter to you?
I'm not quite sure. I wasn't at my house at the time.
Are you surprised by this development?
From the point of view that one is appointed, I don't think one should be surprised when they relieve their duties. I think from the vantage point of the head of state, I think when he is satisfied that there is a need to either reassign people or remove them from the positions, I think that is a perfectly normal procedure in any organization.
Do you view yourself as a Mujuru loyalist, as being peddled in some reports?
No, not at all. I am just a member of the party, and I do not subscribe to any particular individual. My loyalty is to the organization that liberated this country. So any suggestion that I belong to any particular grouping of people or that I belong to a particular individual is completely erroneous.
Lastly, have you had the chance to sit down and talk to the First Lady after she attacked you for allegedly trying to block her from expanding her interests in Mazoe?
No, I haven't.
But has there been an attempt?
No, I haven't attempted.
And that was the Deputy Justice Minister, former Deputy Justice Minister Fortune Chasi, speaking on the line with the Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. We also reached independent political analyst Charles Mangongera, who says the First Lady, Grace Mugabe, is behind the purge.
So, I mean, it didn't come as a surprise to many of us who have been carefully watching what's been happening. I think that if you look at some of those ministers and deputy ministers that were fired, you know, some of them were very unpopular with the First Lady. I can give you the example of, you know, Fortune Chassis. He was singled out, you know, in one of the First Lady speeches, and she basically said she didn't like him. So, you know, we knew that this was coming. In fact, this is not the end. I think that as they are on their holiday and reflecting in the Far East, I suspect that there will be a bigger cabinet reshuffle, and I personally would put my money on the First Lady being appointed to one of the portfolio ministries, particularly the gender, women and community development portfolio.
But according to the letters of dismissal, there's a citation of not being able to discharge their duties as dictated by the state. What do you make of that?
No, I think this is just an excuse that the president and those in his office are giving. The truth of the matter is that this is part of the political purge. And most of those, you know, people, if you look at their performance in their ministries, it's not different from any of those that have been left. In fact, some of those that are still in government today, you know, have been performing worse than those that have been fired. So it's got nothing to do with performance.
And that was independent analyst Charles Mangongera. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
Some ZANU-PF members in Bulawayo say they marked Unity Day by holding prayers at different places in the city. They acknowledge that the day has been almost downgraded since PF ZAPU and ZANU-PF signed the 1987 Unity Accord to end hostilities between the two former liberation parties following internal political strife, which left thousands of people killed and hundreds maimed. Then Prime Minister Robert Mugabe and his bitter political rival and leader of PF ZAPU, Joshua Nkomo, signed the agreement to stop the killings in Matabeleland and the Midlands provinces by the North Korean-trained 5th Brigade. The government claimed that Nkomo's party was supporting dissidents that took up arms soon after independence to fight against the ruling party. Nkomo denied that he was supporting dissidents, and Mr. Mugabe once described the killings as an act of madness. Some critics, like Alternative Secretary General Strike Mgandla of a ZAPU group led by Dumiso Dabengwa, which pulled out of the ruling ZANU-PF party, says the accord is now dysfunctional. But ZANU-PF Central Committee member Joseph Chuma believes that the agreement signed by the two parties is irreversible.
I actually tend to know some of the insights that our own vice president said, and one of the things that he definitely said was that remain where I've left you, remain in this unity accord, do not move out of it. So as long as we say we respect him, then we must respect that, which means that the unity still lives and it will live on and on. And even our own president right now respects that.
Mr. Mkanja, do you agree with him?
I don't really agree with him. The unity thing never worked from the beginning except to stop the killing of people by the Kukura Hundi terror. So that is the only achievement. Behind that, there is nothing else to show for it. Even today, if Chuma really wants to be honest, now they've even given power to one person to choose even his deputies. There's no pretense even to say in consultation with the former ZAPU people. They just sit there to be picked. This is sad that actually the people that came from the ZAPU side do not want to face up to the fact that they are guests, they are visitors in ZANU-PF. It belongs to other people. They've never produced a proper deputy. They've always produced a second vice president.
Mm,
and if you are second perpetually, that is a disaster.
Mr. Chuma.
Look, an all that thing in spirit and word has been followed ever since that time. But unfortunately, you see, we must all be wary of one thing. When somebody is in a certain position, they're really bound to talk from that kind of perspective. I understand Mr. Mkanda very well. He's speaking from a position of him being in ZAPU, that sort of came out of ZANU-PF and stood alone with our comrade Dabengwa, the other fellows that went with him. But what I'm saying is that in reality, when you look at it realistically, following the, to the letter, what Dr. Nkomo and our Honorable Jim Mugabe and the other people that were around them when that thing was being formed was done, you would discover that nothing has been diverted. We have not gone out of that path. We are still there. We are still within our unit accord guidelines and limits.
I think Mr. Chuma, this is very critical with the truth. This is not the first time ZAPU and ZANU have come together. They did so in 1972 in the ZAPU-ZANU JMC. They never dissolved each other. They did so. They put forces together in ZIPA in Mozambique. They came together in the Patriotic Front. They retained their identities. Now, one disappears and the other remains perpetual, and there's no mechanism for ZAPU to reproduce itself within ZANU. It means now ZAPU members inside ZANU are a dying breed. A time will come when there is none left, because they are all former from 1987. But ZANU is producing a lot of young people, including the Kasukuyeres and so on.
Let me come in there. What is the future of the Unity Accord, Mr. Chuma, briefly?
Mkanda, we need you. Come back home. Come back to ZANU-PF so that we, together, then ZAPU can feel more represented by people like you. But within ZANU-PF, because we are now one, ZANU and ZAPU are now one. We are ZANU-PF. Come back home. Come back where Ubaba Nkomo left us.
That was ZANU-PF Central Committee member Joseph Chuma. You also heard from Alternative Secretary General Strike Mkandla of a ZAPU group led by Dumiso Dabengwa. Both spoke with Studio 7 Skips Dube from Bulawayo.
Never find enough time throughout the year to meet to get together, but not so for many cash-strapped Zimbabweans who continue to reel under the country's economic crisis. Poverty is riddled all over the place, and with just 2 days before Christmas, many Zimbabweans say they cannot afford to celebrate as they used to do in the good old days because money is hard to come by. Ivan Chifera has more details from Harare. I would like to apologize for the breakdown in our transmission for the time being, but we shall be giving you the story in a little while. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America, and right now we're giving you the Christmas story from Ivan Chifera.
Many of those interviewed ahead of the most important day on the Christian calendar said, with many companies closing and those still operating struggling to pay their workers for months, Christmas and New Year holidays have lost their appeal as things go from bad to worse for the poor ordinary person on the street. To make matters worse, the government, the largest employer in the country, is failing to pay its workers and has announced that most of its workers will get their bonuses early next year. Some civil servants are still to get their December salaries. Former Prime Minister and opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai says most Zimbabweans are desperately poor, adding they did not have the means to relax and celebrate with their families and friends.
I don't know whether to say Merry Christmas, because I think that the character of any year is measured by the state of the people as we go towards the end of the year. The carnival atmosphere normally associated with this season is no more. We have become a nation of vendors and beggars. Everyone is trying to sell something to somebody.
Harare resident Wakefield Mulilo concurs with Tsvangirai. He says many people have no money to spend on Christmas and New Year holidays. While in the past he would travel to his rural home to be with his parents, Mulilo says he is unable to do so this year.
This Christmas and New Year is going to be a very, very dull Christmas because basically people don't have money to spend.
An employee who declined to be named at SageMed, one of the companies which has gone for months without paying its workers, told Studio 7 there was no way he could have a decent Christmas without money. He said after months without pay, the company has given employees $70 each for the holidays, an amount he said is too meager to meet his family's demands for the holidays ahead of the January school fees demands and other things. Godfrey Toamutimba is the secretary of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions Young Workers Council. He tells Studio 7 workers are caught between a hard place and a rock and cannot afford to pay for any festivities. He says Christmas once again, as it has been in the past decade or so, would just be like any other day for many workers and ordinary Zimbabweans.
We don't have a Christmas to talk about. There's no Christmas in Zimbabwe. How can we have a Christmas when people are not employed, when people do not have money?
Former Zimbabwe National Students Union President Clever Bere says 2014 was a very bad year and he expects the Christmas and New Year holidays to be very dull as people have no buying power.
The reality is companies are closing, many people are losing jobs, the buying power is getting eroded every day, companies are failing to pay salaries.
He said the situation had been worsened by the ZANU-PF government's failure to create 2 million jobs as promised in the 2013 elections, as well as its failure to resuscitate industry. South African-based Rick Mukonza, who is a public management lecturer at the Tswana University of Technology and is in the country for the Christmas and New Year holidays, says though Zimbabweans would have a low-key Christmas and New Year holiday, he believes their problems would soon be over as they have suffered for too long.
For that reason, we'll just do the ordinary that any ordinary Zimbabwean would expect.
Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Now, a look at regional and international news.
An explosion at a bus station in Nigeria has killed at least 15 people. Local officials say the bomb wounded another 21 people at the bus station in Gombe City.
The Associated Press reports at least 786 children in the United States have died of abuse and neglect in a six-year span, saying the children died in plain view of child protection authorities.
And Tunisia has elected veteran politician Beji Caid Essebsi in its first free presidential election since independence from France in 1956.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says it is surprised by reports that Cabinet has agreed to change the country's labour laws to allow productivity-linked wages. National news agency Ziana Today reported that Industry and Commerce Minister Mike Bima had announced the Cabinet approval of the labour reforms to allow company-level bargaining, a move unions say will shortchange workers. Most companies say they are failing to keep up with the current poverty datum line based wage negotiations. ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the unions and the government, through their tripartite negotiations, never agreed on productivity-linked wages.
After this approval, it has to go to the AG's office for the AG's office to put that into law. So how that law is going to look like is something which we are interested in looking at.
What effect does this have on workers?
We went through this experience in the 1990s. This is what we also complained when government borrowed the structural adjustment programs. One of the issues was to deregulate the labor laws to allow codes of conduct at company level, removing the ministerial powers in terms of dismissing workers. And our experience is that it destroyed jobs. Workers remained without any protection.
That was Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions Secretary General Japhet Moyo in Harare with reporter Jonga Kantemiri. Studio 7 failed to reach Minister Bima for a comment.
African Union Commission Chairperson Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma says the African Union is working with Zimbabwe and other African countries to ensure their electoral environments are level ahead of possible elections in the near future. Speaking in an exclusive interview with Studio 7's Sandra Nyaira on a formally classified report regarding allegations of voter fraud in Zimbabwe's 2002 elections, Dr. Dlamini-Zuma said the role of the African Union is not just to police elections in troubled countries, but also to help offer solutions.
Our responsibility should not be just police to say, oh, this one has done wrong. But it's to say, how can we ensure that in Africa our elections are credible, they are transparent, they also take into account concerns of the opposition parties and so on. And all along people were saying, oh, the AU will always say the ruling party has won. We were in Malawi recently. We didn't say that. We observed and we said the party that won won. It wasn't the ruling party. Because our ultimate objective is that elections in Africa should be democratic, should be free, should be transparent. So we work with countries to try and make them like that, so that in future that mistake does not happen.
In terms of the Zimbabwe elections, following the agreement between the AU, SADC and Zimbabwe as we go towards 2018 elections, you know, what role is the AU playing in ensuring that all that complicates elections is dealt with in terms of the media, electoral reforms, and all those issues that were pointed out by the AU and the SADC?
Well, what we are doing even now is to follow up on those things. Some of the things are in the law. For instance, the issue of airtime on television and all that radio. In Zimbabwe, it's in the law. They are supposed to get equal time given by the Electoral Commission. But the law also says any political party can over and above buy a time if it so wishes. So I think it's very important to really be objective and look at what the law says. And if the law is wrong, then it's up to the Zimbabwean parliament to look at that. But at the moment, the law says the Electoral Commission should give equal time, which they say they did. But in addition, the law says any party can buy more time. This time, I think ZANU-PF bought a lot of time because we saw a lot of them on the air. In the previous election, the MDC appeared a lot more. Maybe they had more airtime because they bought more. So if that's the law, then if people are dissatisfied, then the AU can't change the law. But the country must then say, okay, maybe you're not allowed to buy airtime. But in all elections, even in Western countries, people do buy airtime. So we are working with all the countries, not only Zimbabwe, but in all the countries, we always observe that this can still be improved, that can still be improved, whether it's in Malawi, whether it's in Zimbabwe, whether it's where. So we are working with those countries, and we hope that by their next elections, those elections will be better than the previous ones.
And that was African Union Commission Chairperson Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma speaking on the line with Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira.
Meanwhile, police in Harare have issued a public service alert calling on ordinary people to provide information that can lead to the arrest of touts who last week shocked the world by harassing and abusing a young woman they deemed was improperly dressed. A police spokesperson told Studio 7 that investigations into the matter have started, but most importantly, they want the young woman in a widely circulated video to go to her nearest police station so she can help with investigations. Women's and rights groups want the authorities to take swift action. Blessing Zulu spoke with Chief Superintendent Paul Nyati, who says police have intensified their investigation into the matter and are appealing to the woman to approach the police.
As police,
we now have leads in this case. What we are only appealing for is for this young woman to come forward so that these accused persons can now appear in court and face the full wrath of the law. So we are really appealing to you media guys to play your part so that we can nip this callous act in the bud.
But did you know exactly where this incident happened?
Certainly. We now know the place. We now know the owners of the vehicles involved and the crew. But we cannot reveal the identities until after we have interviewed the complainant.
Has anyone been arrested to date?
Not as yet. That's why I'm saying we can't reveal identities. But we now have the leads and we are appealing to the complainant to come forward so that we can conclude this case.
Chief Superintendent Nyati, what is your message to some men out there who might be entertaining these thoughts of harassing women simply because of their dressing?
We want to send a strong message, Blessing. I want to repeat a strong message that anyone who will be caught while trying to denigrate or undress women will be severely dealt with in terms of the law. For the record, there was nothing sinister about the type of dress which was put on by this young lady on this particular day. So we want to warn these all of them who are in the habit of drinking beer, taking some drugs. In the process, they engage in careless acts. That is certainly, as the police will not sit by, we will take action.
That was Chief Superintendent Paul Nyati speaking with Blessing Zulu from Harare. Information reaching us is that three people have since been arrested in connection with the incident.
Marvelous Mhlanganya, who spoke with Talent Jumo of Katswe Sisterhood, a women's rights group that recently held a so-called miniskirt march about the incident.
Young lady is listening, we want to encourage her to get in touch with the police or organizations like ours, Katswe Sisterhood. We have quite a number of people who have come forward who are willing to assist. We have lawyers that have said if she's going to court, we are going to stand with her. The police have also said this should be the end, and they are really hoping that we can put an end to this by making sure that the culprits are arrested. So I want the young sister to feel encouraged, because there is a whole community of people who are willing to support her, including counseling services that may be made available to her if she comes forward. So we encourage her to get in touch with the police or to get in touch with us at Katswe Sisterhood.
You had a miniskirt march in Harare. What effect do you think that march had?
We actually celebrate the fact that the march enabled people from different walks of life to, for the first time, engage in a dialogue around the harassment of women in the streets of Harare. The march was quite effective in that we managed to create a lot of dialogue, and we believe that dialogue is healthy, whether people express negative opinions or positive opinions. But the fact that women can come forward and begin to demand their rights in a safe environment, for us, that is a plus. So we have actually won the hearts of some people who were against us, and also to begin dialogue among people from different walks of life. And as it stands, we have people from different parts of the country working in different sectors. They've come forward to say, we want to help this girl. We are a law firm. We would like to really support her, you know, go through the legal system and ensure that the culprits are brought to book. We have people that are offering counseling services.
And that was Talent Jumo of Katswe Sisterhood speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye from Harare.
My name is Gosozane Dlamini Zuma, the chairperson of the African Union Commission. I wish all of you a splendid festive season, a blessed year, and a very Merry Christmas.
Now to recap today's top stories. The page against ZANU-PF members are suspected to be aligned to former Vice President Joyce Mujuru continued this week.
And remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk, when our host will discuss with experts and you, the listener, about Unity Day. This is Sithandekile Mhlanga in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a good night.